Achieving a gorgeous grin from home isn't a total mystery with BiteClear aligners. Just don't be surprised if all of your sleuthing friends start asking, "What's your secret?" Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. BiteClear aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces. Plus, they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Hey guys, welcome in. It's Vlad Harris here with another Panther Rants podcast. It's Monday. I'm on my way in, actually. I had to take my kid to the orthodontist to get his braces looked at. Top it all off, I had my appointment wrong. It was the right day, but the wrong time. But they took me early, thank God. And now I'm just working out the whole doctor's note thing, because they forgot to give me that, and I wasn't even thinking. I just wanted to get out of there, and I was still half asleep. So it's Monday after the first installment of March Madness, the first weekend. And it's been a wild one. I mean, we had, you know, the one side of the bracket actually has been demolished. And I think mostly everybody's brackets have pretty much been demolished as well. Unless you took the safe conservative route, which was pick Duke for the most part. You know, pick Duke or Villanova if you took that route, because it was probably the most safest route you could have done. I mean, starting off, I mean, for starters, we had a 1 seed lose to a 16 seed for the first time ever. And I had UVA. Initially, I was going to have them go into the Final Four, but after the issue with the their sixth man being gone, I figured they would, I figured they would at least get to Elite Eight and lose to Sean Miller, which is another hilarious part of this whole thing. They just they really just choked, and it was a bad choke. It was a horrible choke for the most part, because. You know, I remember when Pitt was a 16 seed, I mean, a first 1 seed for the first time ever. And that was 2008-2009. They struggled in their opening game against a 16 seed, East Tennessee State. But eventually Pitt woke up and then pulled away at the end. And, of course, I remember Greg Newell called us the worst 1 seed ever. At least that's how he phrased it. But UVA just, they didn't, you know, nothing was working from that day. It was like, you know, like quicksand, like on that movie Replacements, where Shane Falco says, it's like quicksand. When you think one thing's going good, and then one bad thing happens, then another, and you try to dig yourself out, but no matter what happens, bad things happen, keep happening, like quicksand. And that's pretty much what it was for them. It was like quicksand. And not to mention, UMBC kept nailing all their shots. And I mean, Bo Bennett handled that graciously as he could. I mean, despite what happened, UVA had a really good year. I think they were number one overall, and they probably just couldn't handle the pressure. But I don't think it was. But I don't think that pressure was that bad. I mean, it's just a game. But yeah, it was. It was one of those things where UMBC was just nailing their shots, and that was that. Nothing was just working for UVA. Anything. And I thought UVA's offense was a lot better than this. Because they always remind me of the old Pitt teams, but this was just bad, right? This was just bad basketball. So then on the next part of it, we always have Loyola Chicago. Ugh, sorry. Loyola Chicago is in the Sweet 16. I had to beat Miami because I didn't see Miami ever. I didn't see them ever beating Loyola Chicago. I figured if there was one upset, it was this one. But I didn't think Loyola Chicago would beat Tennessee in the next round. I mean, they've had a hell of a tournament. Freeman Major, they've had a hell of a tournament. This has been great. And that game also went down to the wire. But they pulled it off. And let's get to... you got Nevada's coach. They're in the Sweet 16 as well, and their coach's post-game celebration has been funny. You know, he's cursed and won. I guess the game they won the next time around, which we'll get to. He just took his shirt off. Yeah, he walked in with his shirt off, and they were dumping. You know, they were celebrating. But I think the second time around, the cameras, I guess, decided not to try to catch him cursing with his players. But that was a horrible weekend for Cincinnati in general, because you had Cincinnati choking that lead away against Nevada. Well, it looked like they were just imposing their will, and then they fell apart. Then you had Xavier, who just, same thing. I mean, Florida State just hung around that game, and I know Xavier going too far in my bracket. I mean, they play in the Big East. Chris Mack's a hell of a coach, but to me, the Big East is just Villanova and whoever else. You can't convince me otherwise until some other teams step up. But overall, it's Villanova. There are some decent teams, but until I'm proved otherwise, it's just still Villanova and everybody else. And that's how it always will be. I mean, the AAC will always be UConn and everybody else, but UConn sucks. But really, there's nobody else in the AAC that's gone farther in the Sweet 16 than UConn has since that league's been together. And of course, we get to Arizona, and this is part of the whole pick coaching thing. Arizona completely fell apart in the opening round game. You know, Sean Miller, to me, it was like, for him, that scene where I in Blue Chips, where Nick Nolte just sits down and he's looking at his players, and you hear the echoes of the words of stuff they were saying in the early in the movie about what he paid and this and that. That's that moment Sean Miller was having with his players. Because as soon as they were posed a challenge by Buffalo, the players just gave up. I'm sure these guys have the NBA draft on their minds. That could be one thing. They really could care less. And that's the thing when you sign these kind of players is trying to keep their head together for that season until they go to the draft. Because, look what Calipari's done with these guys. He signs a whole bunch of them, and they can just throw the season away if they really wanted to. But he has them in the tournament. They're winning games, and sometimes he gets lucky. Maybe he wins a championship. So when you sign those type of players, you got to try to keep them together, keep their heads together. And at that point, yet in that game, they lost their heads. So, and they just hit the hell with it. They pretty much quit on Sean Miller. So, I'm not sure where he goes from there. If anything, maybe with this loss, maybe he just lets these guys go and do a clean slate. Because he needs something, because that was bad. I mean, it's been a bad year for him. You know, until proven otherwise, a lot of it was self-inflicted. TCU is in a tournament. And I had TCU losing to Syracuse. You know, I mean, the joke will be, obviously, Jamie, you know, did his usual early exit. Which is fine. I get it. But TCU lost their top point guard early, middle of the year. And the fact that TCU got to the tournament without him was an accomplishment in itself. And if they probably have him, they beat Syracuse. I figured that was going to be an evenly matched game, but I figured Syracuse would win out with their zone. And to our surprise, should be to our surprise, it's going to be another year where Syracuse, being a borderline tournament team, is now in the Sweet 16, where 2 years, but you know, 2 years before that, people said they didn't belong because, you know, they lost three times a Pitt in 1 year. But somehow they got to the Final Four that year. And now they're in the Sweet 16, and they're offensively, they suck. We all knew that. But their zone, the way they play, they defend it so well, with it so well, that it gives them a chance in every game. A lot of people have Michigan State going to the tournament that year. This year. Even John Rothstein had them winning the whole thing. And poof, they killed a bunch of brackets. I mean, it's just amazing. You know, obviously there's some other surprises. Texas Tech's in the Sweet 16, which surprised me. The Big 12 has four teams in the Sweet 16, which is surprising because usually they flame out early. But it's still around the 16, yes, so we'll see. You know, if teams other than Kansas, you know, step up to the plate. Because that's been a problem. As it's always Kansas doing all the legwork. You know, Gonzaga beats Ohio State. You know, Gonzaga's in the Sweet 16. Michigan with a buzzer beater over Houston, and that's the thing when you don't make those free throws. I mean, when he missed those two free throws, I feel like something bad was going to happen because you cannot do that against a John Boeheim team. They had almost 4 seconds left. They had enough time just to drive down the court and get a shot off. Clemson being in the Sweet 16 surprises me as well. I mean, they've been doing pretty well. They were good all this year. It just, for them to get this far surprises me. Same with FSU. Leonard Hamilton always screws teams up, but he's got them in the Sweet 16 as well. Doing well there. A&M, I totally didn't expect A&M to beat the dismantle the crap out of North Carolina, but they did. You know, A&M is not really known for basketball. I mean, they've had good teams in the past, but they haven't, you know, run up on people like this before. I mean, I had North Carolina going deep in the tournament, And they just dismantled North Carolina. North Carolina couldn't even shoot. Remember that transfer, Cam Johnson, they brought in? Cam Johnson was useless in that game. Terrible. But anyways, it was a fun weekend for the most part. That's what makes college basketball so great. And the tournament so great. It's because it doesn't really... Because your conference affiliation is irrelevant at that point. How much revenue your athletic department has, how rich, how big your student body is, all this, all that. It's all irrelevant at that point. Everybody has a chance. And that's why you got so many blowhards, especially the media, who are you know, the Power Five brass. They're all about the Power Five. They don't like the tournament because they're used to seeing all the P5 schools dominating football. So they want to see in basketball as well. And you can't, because basketball, college basketball is a much different landscape than football. And that's what makes college basketball so great. Your power conferences aren't exactly your P5s in college basketball. There's other really good, other good, you know, conferences. Big East, Atlantic 10, are such ones, to name a few. Excuse me. But, that's what makes it great. Now, we get to the football side of things. Not football, I'm sorry. Actually, not so much football, the Pitt side of things. Now, the search goes on for Heather Like, for the new head coach of Pitt basketball. And as the tournament goes on, more names are added to the bunch. Obviously, the top one is Danny Hurley, but I'm hearing from several people that Hurley at UConn's a done deal, and that supposedly Pitt may make one last run at Hurley to see if he can catch his eye a little bit. My source for this, pretty much almost anybody you hear from that says they know big name boosters, pretty much. So it could be right, or it could be totally horribly wrong. That's pretty much sums up the whole coaching search for Pitt as far as information goes. It's very tight-lipped. So you're going to hear a bunch of people think they know everything. And some, they don't mean to. It's just what they hear. It's not ego. But for some who are just trying to push their Twitter followers and stuff like that, there's that. You know, for a while, I mean, we were hearing that we had one Twitter account saying that, you know, there was interest between Pitt and Miller the whole time. And then all of a sudden, we hear that Pitt hasn't contacted Miller at all. But supposedly now there's contact between Pitt and Sean Miller, supposedly. What kind of contact it is, who knows? There may not be any contact. I mean, if we all remember a long time ago, when Richie Walsh said that Miller was on campus interviewing for the Pitt head coaching job, and, of course, an hour later, somebody sends a picture of Sean Miller walking through the UVA, the Arizona campus. So, And I've heard that the supposed there is contact. Is it true? I have no idea. They're saying Shulman's come back for personal reasons, not because of the investigation, but other things. But of course, the boosters will probably want him. But their obstacle supposedly is Heather Like. Whether or not Heather would want him back because of the package he has right now. So, I'm not going to be positive about this. I don't see him at Pitt at all. Like any head coaching search we've had, there's been obvious coaches that we wanted, and then we've obviously go for the one that no one's ever heard of. Like, for instance, the last search, a lot of names got thrown around, and of course, we end up somewhere out of nowhere, we end up with Kevin Stallings. But I've heard that Nate Oates of Buffalo is obviously they're interested in him as well. He wouldn't be a bad pick as well. But basically almost anything you hear is just rumor. So whatever you're paying, I mean, if you're paying $9.95 for insider information, it's probably garbage. So I wouldn't really rush to get a Panther Lair subscription. No offense, Chris Peak. Although Chris does great work. He has a lot of great content. But I think on this one, if you're just going for the sole purpose of basketball rumors, it's probably not a good idea. Unless you get that 7-day, let's say a 7-day free trial. You can just kill a free trial. Or, you know, if you like premium content, hey, go, by all means, go for it. So I'm not gonna, you know, kill. I'm not gonna hurt Chris's hustle too bad by saying not to subscribe to it. And of course, as I wrap up this podcast, I'm sure there'll be another hot rumor. Or Pitt may have already hired their coach. Because that's how my life goes when it comes to podcasting. Because it's, you know, that type of mess. Who knows? But, anyways, guys, it's been a fun March so far. Enjoy the coaching search as it goes on. Let's hope Heather doesn't hire a crony like a Chris Gent that gets brought up, because supposedly he's a family friend of hers. But I think Heather's not going to be able to do cronyism this time around, because it won't go over too well. Which makes me wonder why how the Kevin Stallings hire got through the boosters. I mean, did Scott Barnes ask for their opinion, or did he just say, F you guys, I'm hiring him? Don't know. But anyways, guys, enjoy your Monday. Rest of your week. I'll see you on Wednesday to talk more about March Madness and the games coming up. Hail to Pitt.